balance is key. But when an element is out of balance, like say confidence, and there could be an excess or deficient condition, if there's an excess condition of confidence, well, that turns into arrogance. And that's when people get in their own way. They don't even realize it. That's the danger about overconfidence, when it becomes arrogance, because people are blinded by it. They don't even see it. They're not aware. They don't have that self-awareness. And one thing that that can impact on is an impact on discipline, because they start to think that they're just so awesome that they really don't need to continue doing all that, the great work that perhaps got them the confidence to begin with. So all these elements need to be in balance with each other. It's about building the potential, fulfilling that potential, going through this generative cycle, but maintaining balance. And then the trick is, how do you get back to balance? Because life has a funny way of throwing you curveballs and all these unexpected scenarios that knock you out of balance. And usually those are driven by emotions. So how can you get back to balance quickly and maintain that?
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hey everyone, today I am very thrilled to welcome Craig Cook to the podcast. Craig is a visionary entrepreneur who recognized the power of the internet long before digital first became a buzzword. With just $1,300 and an Apple computer, he launched rhythmnet.com, which grew into a leading digital creative agency, serving household names like American Honda Motors, Beats by Dr. Dre, and US Bank and Allergan. Under Craig's leadership, Rhythm earned national recognition, including 5 consecutive years on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies, multiple Best Places to Work awards, and ultimately a successful acquisition by a world-class agency. But beyond the accolades, Craig has been honored as one of Orange County's 40 Under 40, a top 100 marketing and advertising leader. And he is a member of Forbes Agency Council. Craig's story does not stop at business, however. He's also a martial artist, an energy healer with a doctorate in Chinese energetic medicine, which I'm very excited to talk about. And he's someone who blends ancient wisdom with modern leadership. Today, he mentors professionals through advisory, consulting, and executive coaching, and bringing together decades of entrepreneurial experience with a unique energetic approach. Craig, welcome to this show. It is such a privilege to have you on here.
Thank you, Phoebe, for having me here. I'm really excited to get into some deep conversation here. And thank you for the nice big intro there. That's a lot. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so good to have you, Craig. From the moment we first spoke, I knew I wanted to have you on the show. I wanted to actually start by getting you to take us back to the beginning, because I'm a digital native and I can imagine that when you started back in the day, you only had $1,300 and a computer, and it would have been very difficult and very different to our days now, where we've got ChatGPT and AI at our fingertips. What were your challenges that you went through in those early years, and how has that shaped who you are today?
Great question. Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting because you mentioned you're a digital native. Before I get into it, you know, I'm Gen Xer, so I feel that Gen X really helped build out the internet, and then the millennials grew up with the internet, and now, you know, Gen Z, this upcoming generation, were born with the internet. So it's a very interesting perspective in seeing how everything's evolving. And when I started the company, I was 25. So one of the big challenges was that being young and inexperienced, I didn't know what I didn't know. And I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but that's how you learn, right? So one, the inexperience, and then two, just not having resources. As you stated, I started it with $1,300 and a computer. Yeah, I didn't have much. And I had to just really do it the old-fashioned way, just grinding it out. And back then, there was just bigger barriers to entry for creating a successful business. Yeah, the internet was brand new, just getting started, and not a lot of people even knew what it was. It was like, the inner what? What is that? You know, and there was a lot of education that had to come about. But just not really having the experience, a brand new industry that people didn't know anything about, not having contacts, not having resources, and just really having to struggle the old-fashioned way. But that's okay. It was a very interesting journey, and it came out okay.
Wow, I can't imagine having to explain what the internet is to people.
Yeah, the most common question was like, so why do we need a website?
I think people still ask that to this day.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the last time I was asked that question, it was at a client meeting probably about 8 years ago. And I was like pretty shocked. But, you know, it's interesting because today there's just so many different channels and mediums of expression that, yeah, one could argue maybe you can get some things done without your own personal website. Right? But I still would debate that pretty hard because with your own website, you own it. So everything you put it into it is yours and you don't have to worry about, say, you know, all your information and contacts being on some social platform and all of a sudden you lose your account for some strange reason and then you lose all that information.
Yeah. And I advocate for a website, but also that presence online. Anything can suddenly be pulled down. Your web developer could say, hey, the hosting provider's gone bankrupt or something's not working in the IT department. And I strongly suggest to the listeners that it's good to have yourself on multiple platforms and not put all your eggs in one basket. That's for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, it's just great to back up all your data. Yeah, I think that's what you're alluding to as well with your database, and you just don't know. And I also really advocate an integrated approach with my company. Our byline was integrated marketing, digital core. And the website was usually at the center hub of everything. But then, as you stated, having a presence in multiple locations, you know, it could be social, email, search. Now the newest thing is, can you be referred or recommended via ChatGPT? You know, so all these places that you need to have your presence because it all works together in conjunction.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to your first business, Rhythm, I'm excited to hear about the moment you realized that Rhythm had made it. What was that defining moment? How did you know, okay, this business, we made it. We're no longer scraping around trying to survive, we're actually thriving?
Yeah, that's a really good question. No one's ever asked me that before, actually. The defining moment that I felt that this business has made it. That's a really good question. So I'm like having to rewind quite a bit here, going to different moments. There could be like various steps that we were reaching higher points of success, but I would say if I really had to pinpoint a moment where I was like, yeah, we're here, I would say in 2009, we purchased our own commercial office building and moved into our own office building that we owned and it's ours. And we built it out exactly how we wanted it. And we were ahead of the curve. We built out this open creative workspace. Our key people helped us design it and, you know, put the ideas and how we wanted to work together and collaborate because we were highly collaborative. And yeah, before the creative open space was the rage, we built that out. It was cool. And when it was finished and we moved in, I would say that was the moment it was like, yeah, this is our time. We're here.
Wow. That would have felt like building a home, like building your own home.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it too. Yeah. Because you know, I spent a lot of time there. So yeah, absolutely.
And for the business owners or the entrepreneurs that are listening, what are some of the qualities that you think really matters most when you're building trust and building up a team that is growing into like a family? How can we be better leaders, or what kind of qualities do we need to develop to ensure that we can reach that kind of goal?
Yeah, that's a great question too. One of the things that I told, as I established a management team and I was working with managers, one of the things that I mentioned to them that's super important as a leader is to develop empathy. You know, some people naturally have it, others don't. And regardless, it's something to build and improve on. And it really goes a long way when you're communicating with your team members and they see that you actually are listening, like actively listening, and that you understand their perspective. And it takes empathy to really be effective at that. And it really goes a long way. People feel valued, and that feeling of value really helps people to trust you and want to work for you and go the extra mile for you.
100%. I think that understanding where other people are coming from is super important, and being able to not just lead by example, but also be at the same level as everyone. I see a lot of business owners, and including myself as well, I don't think that speaking to someone like you're their superior is going to encourage or motivate or inspire them. But knowing that everybody has different skills and different talents and kind of like being on the same level as well is also really important so that people are encouraged. I know, for example, my team, they like a little bit of encouragement just goes such a long way. It's not necessarily empathy, but it's understanding when are they needing a bit more encouragement, when to say the right amount of positive words that will.
Yeah, and I would say empathy comes into play with that, actually. Yeah, 100%. I also want to piggyback too on what you said about leading by example, because I do feel that's very important. And it really takes discipline to really have that quality of discipline and to showcase that, to lead by example. And I'm sure we'll talk about my book here shortly, but in my book, I define three layers of discipline. And one is just showing up, which sounds funny, but you know, some people, it doesn't, they just don't show up, you know, every day. It's weird. I don't get it, but I've seen it. I've experienced it. And then two is being productive. That's the second layer. Okay, you got showing up down. Well, when you show up, you got to actually get to work, get busy, be productive. And then the third layer is actually being effective. And what I mean by that is that the work that you produce actually creates value that someone else is going to actually experience that through a product or service and find value in that. And having that proper three layers of discipline and leading by example in that way really sets a tone for other people to follow.
Definitely. And I love that you brought up your book, because I'm excited to hear more about business kung fu. I'm sure in this day and age, business is a bit like a battleground sometimes. Some days it feels like you have more resilience than others. Some days you're flowing, and some days you got to have that agility. And I love that you use the term kung fu, because to me, when I picture kung fu, it's not just using all of your strength and your grit and fighting per se. It's actually intelligence and knowing how to be agile and flexible and how to go with the flow. So I'd love to hear it from you. What is business kung fu all about?
Okay. Well, I like where you are going with all that. That's right on the money. So Business Kung Fu, a book here, I wrote it over the course of 12 years, actually. It took me a while, but I finally got it done and released in late 2023. I've won multiple awards from it, national bestseller, so all great stuff. And a lot of people really give me great reviews from it. And why Business Kung Fu, the concept came from when I studied Chinese Kung Fu. Starting at age 17 up until 25, I was really intensely studying it and teaching Kung Fu. And when I started my company at 25, I took the principles that I learned from Kung Fu and actually applied it to how I was thinking about the company, structuring it, mindset, discipline. But even how I, over the course of time, how I continued to refine the company and the business model in like an integrated approach. I mentioned the integrated approach earlier. The system I learned, very happy that I was blessed to learn from someone that learned a really good system. It was an integrated approach. It wasn't just reliant on just one or two or three little things. There was all kinds of different aspects of fighting floor, fighting air, inside, outside, external, internal, short and tight, long and extended, straight and direct, circular, you know, when to yield, when to come in, and the stepping movement. There's just so much to it. It was a complete system, and it was integrated. These different examples of what I did in running my company, and I captured that in the book. In 2011, I thought of the concept. My first passion in life actually was books. As soon as I was a kid and I could read, I always had a book in front of me. And when I was a teenager, I thought, oh, I want to write a book one day. And then fast forward to 2011, that finally came up. Oh, yeah, of course, Business Kung Fu. It took me a while to get it done. But yeah, that's essentially the what it's about. And if you strip it down to its core, it's a mindset book.
Fantastic. I think every single person should get their hands on a book that's going to encourage them to lead with clarity and to be able to create with intention and also scale with longevity in mind, rather than scaling fast and then all of a sudden things just collapse, doing it in a really sustainable way.
Yes. 100%. Yeah, it's interesting because as I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, I had to grind it out more the old-fashioned way. And, you know, scaling fast with getting a bunch of investors in, you know, that's definitely a path. However, you know, I it's funny because when I started, I witnessed the dot-com bubble and the bust, where all these people got all this investor money and they scaled super fast and then they lost it. And then 9/11 witnessed that. I went through the 2008 bubble and crash, and then even sold the company in 2019, but I still stayed on for 3 years as the CEO of my existing role. And I had to navigate the whole lockdown and, you know, all that interesting time period. And when people are taking a bunch of money and trying to grow super fast, it is a path, but it can definitely bring about some bad habits. You know, when it comes to like financial discipline and running lean, not getting ahead of yourself, and, you know, even growing the old fashioned way. And when we started to hit some rapid growth drives, like the Inc. 5000 list, you know, we hit that 5 years in a row. Only 7% of companies actually achieved that, from what I was told by them. And there's a couple of times where we got ahead of ourselves a little bit. And that's with a lot of financial discipline and running lean at times and not getting ahead of ourselves, but we did. It's challenging. So it's an interesting point that you bring up.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. I would so love to hear more about that and read more about that experience, because I'm sure it taught you a lot and there's a lot we can all learn from your past experience.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's interesting. There's just so many lessons. And again, I made a ton of mistakes starting out, just so many. Again, that's how you learn really well. Like, oh, okay, I won't do that again. You know, you just get better. As long as you acknowledge like, hey, I made a mistake, now I've got to learn from it and not repeat it and do my best and be better, right? Each day you should be better than the last, so.
Yeah, having that awareness is definitely really important. You have a model in the book, which I wanted to discuss, and it sounds like it's going to be important for business owners to be able to navigate chaos when they understand how to adopt this model in the professional and probably in personal life as well, but definitely in the professional setting. It's the five elements of success, and I'd love to hear more about that model.
Thank you. Yeah, and you nailed it. You know, the book, I put it in the context of business, obviously business kung fu, and it's geared towards entrepreneurs for the most part. But it's interesting. A lot of people that have given me reviews have said, hey, this is actually a great roadmap for life. And initially, I was like kind of surprised about that. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. But if you think about it, life is a business. Your life is a business, you know, in ways you can think about it, right? So with my model of five elements of success, it's based on Chinese five element theory, which in the book, I'll just show a little diagram here. This is an ancient philosophy that's thousands of years old, and there's five elements: fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And these elements are like energetic phases, and they operate in cycles and have relationships with each other. And it's really sophisticated and deep. And my understanding of that model comes from my study of Chinese Kung Fu and then also a medical Qigong, which I'm sure we're going to talk about too at some point here. So based on my understanding of that, and then based on my experience as an entrepreneur and my journey of success and failures, and then my observation of others and their success and failures, I was inspired by this five element model one day. And I said, oh yeah, the five elements of success follows the same pattern. And the five elements I identified in my model are the passion, which leads to discipline, which builds expertise, which leads to confidence, which then extends to faith. And it's a cycle. So again, looking at the diagram, they're both here, the traditional ancient and my model. It operates in a clockwise and counterclockwise cycle. So if you imagine clockwise, it's expanding and growing. Kind of think of it like spiraling up, where you're developing the potential of each element and then fulfilling that potential. Going the other direction, counterclockwise, it's diminishing. So the elements are starting to lose their luster in a sense, and it's a downwards negative spiral. But then each of these elements have these relationships with each other that can have positive or adverse impacts. So for example, the element of confidence, so at the end of the day, it's about balance. All these elements need to be in balance. And that's really important when it comes into like the medical Qigong work that I do. So balance is key. But when an element is out of balance, it's like, say, confidence, and there could be an excess or deficient condition. If there's an excess condition of confidence, well, that turns into arrogance. And that's when people get in their own way. They don't even realize it. That's the danger about overconfidence, when it becomes arrogance, because people are blinded by it. They don't even see it. They're not aware. They don't have that self-awareness. And one thing that that can impact on is an impact on discipline. So they start to think that they're just so awesome that they really don't need to continue doing all that great work that perhaps got them the confidence to begin with. So all these elements need to be in balance with each other. It's about building the potential, fulfilling that potential, going through this generative cycle, but maintaining balance. And then the trick is, how do you get back to balance? Because life has a funny way of throwing you curveballs and all these unexpected scenarios that knock you out of balance, and usually those are driven by emotions. So how can you get back to balance quickly and maintain that?
Wow. I cannot wait to hear more and read more about this and learn more from you, Craig. That's so interesting. Thank you for sharing your perspective on how arrogance can impact discipline. And that diagram clearly illustrates this model that you've created. So for anyone that's listening to the show and or watching on YouTube and Spotify, I'm actually going to pop that diagram into this clip so that you can see it in full screen. But there's so much to discover, and we're only barely scratching the surface here. But I also want to shuffle across to the topic of Qigong, because
yes,
I am a big fan. My heritage on my mother's side is Chinese, and also my father's side as well, even though he wasn't born there. But Qigong, Chinese medicine, it's all this stuff that I've grown up hearing about. I understand the benefits. I've actually never tried it, apart from in the modern day setting, in a gym where there's a hybrid version of it now. But traditional Qigong in its purest form, I've seen a lot of people in China practice it. I hear about the way it actually encourages longevity and is great for energetic realignment in our bodies. But I want to hear about what the positive benefits are from you and how can it help us thrive in life?
Sure, absolutely. There's a lot to discuss here. It's interesting. I'm interested in hearing what the hybrid Qigong that you're seeing at gym is, because that's interesting. I haven't seen that. So I'm curious.
I call it body balance. And it's almost like there's a bit of Qigong and they bring in like a hybrid of almost a bit of Pilates, a bit of yoga, a bit of Qigong, a bit of dance. Yeah. And it feels very good, actually. Like it's one of those classes that I used to really enjoy, because I felt like the movement of my hands was actually like shifting energy and emotions. And I'm not sure if I was or was not, but it definitely felt good. But I haven't really tried proper Qigong. So
yeah, so interesting. Huh? Interesting. Very cool. Very cool. You know, as humans, we're such creative people and we're always evolving by taking different things and combining it. That's actually when I started my company on the passion for music and passion for technology. And that's how I brought them to be together to create the company Rhythm, because we started it in the music industry, but evolved from there. And now I'm taking my passion for, you know, the business world that I've had and for Qigong and combining that into what I do today, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But back to Qigong and diving into it, there's traditionally three branches of Qigong. There's the martial, medical, and spiritual. So I'm versed in all three. My first exposure to Qigong was when I was studying Kung Fu back when I was a teenager. But I was the martial Qigong, and there's a lot of like health and wellness, and it's in the context of martial applications. And then in 2014, I was really fortunate to come across a medical Qigong practitioner. And it's interesting because it came in right when I needed it. There's been a number of moments, I like to call it divine guidance, in my life when it came to the struggle of business and overcoming challenges and so forth. That's where that element of faith comes in that I talked about in my model. And in 2014, I think we had just landed on the Inc. 5000 list, like the second year in a row. Lots of success, bigger clients, bigger budgets, growing team, all great on the surface, but you know, I was really thrown out of balance with myself. I just wasn't myself, just mentally, emotionally. I just really wasn't myself. And I was changing. I was getting triggered quite a bit. You know, normally I was like calm, cool, collected, but the pressures of staff, payroll, clients, vendors, juggling family life, it takes its toll, especially if you're not taking care of yourself, because I wasn't taking care of myself, even though I knew better. I was so much of 1,000% in, I just tended to everyone else's needs before my own. I never even really would address my own. So anyways, that's a whole other story. A friend of mine referred me to this gentleman. I looked him up. I was like, wow, he does Qigong. Interesting. I wonder if he's the real deal. Because I had never experienced medical, the healing type of Qigong. And I said, I gotta go check this guy out. And he just so happened to be less than 5 minutes down the street from my office on the same street. And again, divine guidance, because if he was like a half hour away, I'd probably have been like, oh, I really like to see him, but I don't have time. You know, but there's no excuse not to go. And I was just really fascinated and intrigued. I was like, I gotta go check him out. So I went, had a great, amazing experience the first time. He did the energy work on me. And I went back and I went to see him once a month for 6 months. After that 6 month period, I suddenly found myself feeling much more centered and balanced and more like myself. I was like, wow, this is really something. And then he asked me at that time, he like knew when to ask, hey, you want to learn how to do this work? I said, absolutely, without hesitation. So in January 2015, I took a deeper dive and started learning from him and really getting into it at a much deeper level, which really to me had a profound impact on me as a business leader and entrepreneur. To really stay centered and balanced and perform at higher levels, at an optimal level, so I can actually achieve higher levels of success.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so too.
It's amazing that the culture that we used to have, I think society is shifting from it now in some areas, is that hustle and that hard work. And like I said earlier, it's like a battle. Whereas you've adopted a more like a flowing kind of approach, kind of like the martial arts that we were talking about. And it's really, really cool the way you've weaved in your experiences and the different modalities that you've come across in life and weave that into your business and then created a multi-million dollar company. That's amazing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was really quite something. And I totally kept it under the radar that I was studying and learning. Like none of my staff knew about it. And I started, some of them would be like, hey, something's different about you. You're like, I don't know. You're like more calm. And I'm like, I just would get a smile. And oh, thanks. You know, I knew walk. But yeah, I'm really passionate about sharing this experience that I've had being a business mentor. That whole journey as an entrepreneur, all the success and failures and providing guidance to people. And then the mindset aspect, which is really heavily influenced from Chinese Kung Fu. And then the Qigong, because it's just phenomenal what it does for you, just mind, body, spirit wise. It's quite amazing. Yeah. And I think you mentioned also from like the energetics, it's so important that it really helps regulate the nervous system. And we also have like this energetic anatomy, just like we have a physical anatomy, we have a whole energetic anatomy, and it needs to be maintained. So think of it like if you have a car and your car needs a tune-up at times, sometimes it just needs a car wash because it's filthy. Now it needs to get the dirt off because it's gone through, you know, some mud. So it's the same thing with our energetic anatomy or energy body. It needs to have, you know, an energetic car wash in a sense. And then sometimes it needs its tuna as well, the alignment and balancing. So it's important because it really helps you to stay centered and grounded and able to keep all the other things that you have to do in balance and have the energy to do it.
Speaking of energy, I wanted to ask you if there were 5 practices or habits that you could recommend to the ones that really want to have more energy in life and have more success. What would be 5 habits or practices that you would even teach in schools if you could?
Okay. Well, based on my personal experience and what has worked for me, 1, martial arts, because there's just so much to it that it brings to you.
Any particular type?
You know, they're all good. They all have their qualities. Very fond of Chinese Kung Fu. So my roots are based in that. It's interesting. My teacher's teacher, who's also my direct teacher nowadays too, he started his own system maybe when I was like 21 or so. And he started to incorporate all these different martial arts and had a very open-minded approach, which I talk about in my book. And I thought that was really important. At first, I was like, I don't know about that. But it was cool. It was really neat. So I would say whatever appeals to someone, you know, that's what they should go for, right? But I am a big fan of Chinese Kung Fu. And Qigong, obviously, just for like the things that we talk about. But then I also feel that strength training is really important too. It's really extremely healthy for we to build lean muscle mass and for a whole other set of reasons. I actually was diagnosed with diabetes 8 years ago or so, and I reversed it 100% naturally. No pharmaceutical drugs at all. So your question's really applicable here. That's like 5 habits or disciplines to incorporate into your daily life. You know, the martial arts, some sort of energetic practice. It could be yoga. Again, I prefer Qigong, you know, but that's me. Meditation. Qigong has a bunch of meditations in it, and it's a moving meditation. It has static meditation. So it kind of takes, but let's just say, you know, if someone takes something like yoga, well, do some meditation also, right? Incorporate that. The strength training. And then I would say nature, just getting outside, walking in nature, you know, getting grounded, getting the natural sunlight, especially the morning light or towards dusk, you know, that type of light, having it hit your eyes, you know, really, really good for you. There's some other stuff, but as far as those habits, to just help keep you energized, grounded, and having the ability to move forward. And as you incorporate these different aspects, you'll learn things that you can influence you into whatever your endeavor is, that however you're going through life to hopefully thrive, not just survive, but thrive, right?
Absolutely. And even as you were speaking, I'm thinking about how important a walk out in nature is. It almost ticks so many boxes. You know, it's breathing, it's in a way spiritual. It's very, very healthy for our mind. It connects us with a greater power or a greater source, because you mentioned that faith element, and I think that really weaves it all in. So that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you for asking that great question. That's another question no one's asked. So yeah, very good.
I'm always curious because everybody's daily routine or their rituals are different. And especially when you mentioned the number 5 in your 5 elements of success. You know, I think that we have 5 elements usually in life, or 5 practices or daily habits that usually most people have a minimum of 5 that they're not aware of.
Yeah, that's cool. Very good. So you can have your own 5 element model.
I'll have to weave that into the book I'm writing, perhaps.
Right. Say inspired by.
Wow. So these rituals that keep you grounded, obviously, they're not always conventional advice that people share. Like when you were writing the book and throughout the different stages and the different ages and the different people that you came across, did you find that there were things that you think people have taught that are overrated, that is maybe considered conventional wisdom in business? And you think, no, that's kind of overrated. Like working hard is overrated. Or
I was just going to say we're working hard. It's like, duh. Well, yeah, I mean, and so my first chapter of my book start with a quote every chapter. And the first chapter, the quote is, things are only hard if you make them hard. Old Taoist proverb. So when people are like, yeah, work hard, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, it's kind of a given, but yet does it have to be hard? Like, if you have passion for what you do, work doesn't really feel like work. You're excited to get up every day and get at it. It fuels discipline. That's why I talk about my five element model. The passion fuels discipline. But there are times when I like to use the term challenging, when it gets very challenging. Yeah, you might be tired or someone's like being very negative and you have to keep showing up. And that's where that extra layer of discipline really starts to need to kick in. But when people say, yeah, work harder than everyone else, it's just so vague and generalized and typical that it's one, things are only hard if you make them hard. And two, there's just your approach in utilizing discipline to get through challenges and faith and all that. There's just so much more to it. It's just too simple, too simple. I usually like simple things, but the way people talked about it is just too vague and nebulous.
Yeah, absolutely. Because working hard can lead to burnout in excess.
Yes. The excess condition of discipline is just that. 100%. And that's where myself, I was so in that I didn't take care of myself. And that's why I ended up coming down with that diagnosis of diabetes, because when I started my company, I was completely healthy at this end of the spectrum, great shape from all the strength training and martial arts I was doing. And then fast forward like 10 years later, I was at the opposite end of the spectrum and I was getting tired and I wasn't able to perform like I used to. I was, you know, really feeling burned out in the afternoon. I'd get home, I'd eat dinner, and I'd usually work on the couch. But all of a sudden, I'd pass out, not on purpose. I'd just suddenly find myself asleep for a couple hours. I'd wake up, oh, wow, why did that happen? I just didn't have the energy to perform. So by letting discipline get into an excess condition, I burned myself out. I burned out my systems. I depleted myself. And came down with a health condition also, which is like the worst form that I can take. And I ignored my self-care. I didn't prioritize it. And that's a huge lesson I learned. And I talk about that. Yeah, there's a quote in my book, be of service to self so you can be of service to others for a lifetime. Because where I found myself, like, what good am I if I'm just burning out and unable to perform? That's not being of service and not being able to continue to give, you know, you just like a flame that just dies out. But if you prioritize your self-care, like these five habits that we talked about, you can have all kinds of energy and be of service to others for a lifetime. Like nowadays, since I learned that lesson the hard way, and I'm very passionate about this message as well. I mean, I feel like I did in my 20s when I first started my company. I have plenty of energy and I'm just going at it. And I'm actually in a process which is very interesting in this new chapter of life. I'm reliving my book, but I know better this time and how to keep things in balance much better than I did before.
That's amazing. I'm so thrilled to hear that. And I really hope that you continue to thrive and have lots of energy to teach people and to pass on such beautiful ancient wisdom in such a modern take. Also, when you were talking about excess before, you know, I was also thinking about how in modern day terms, there's a lot of people that are using a lot of psychology diagnoses or terminology and things like ADHD, like autism, a lot of these things. And in Chinese medicine, they talk a lot about excess energy. And I don't know if there's some kind of like correlation where when we have excess energy in one area, but not to another area, then it makes the mind start to run really fast. And then, you know, that person might lose focus and think, oh, I've got ADHD. But in actual fact, perhaps it's just an excess of something, right?
Yeah. Actually, so my doctorate program for Chinese energetic medicine, my whole thesis was about how Qigong can mitigate stress and anxiety for modern business professionals. And I did a whole research study where I was doing my energetic practices with people. And I really was focusing in on these emotional, mental aspects because of how it benefited me in my whole experience. So that's why I wanted to focus in on that. So when we're talking about certain mental symptoms and manifestations, so let's take obsessiveness, like OCD, right? Someone who's constantly obsessing about something and worrying, right? That's a very common one for people that are in business, always having worrying about what's coming next, and overthinking. That's energy that resides in the spleen. So that energy could get into this excess condition of the spleen. And the saying with Chinese energetic medicine is that Shen affects Qi, Qi affects Jing. So Shen, spirit, affects energy, Qi, energy. And then energy affects Jing, the physical tissues, physical matter. It could go the other direction as well. Like say if someone's in an accident, it could then affect the energy, which affects the spirit. And in the spirit, we can think of like the heart and mind connection, our thoughts and emotions. So as our thoughts and emotions, we're obsessing, we're constantly worrying about the future, that can then affect the energetic matrix that's all around us and within us. And over time, it can actually manifest into some sort of physical condition if it persists and continues. Another thing is like, say, it could then lead to impact other organs and other emotions that can come to the surface. So this worry can suddenly build up to nervousness, which can then build up to anxiety. And anxiety is in the heart center. So people get obsessing, OCD, worry about the future. And all of a sudden now they get anxious and now they're full of anxiety. And the worst form is like suddenly they have panic attacks. That's just a bad way to be, right? So that's where the mindset is super important, but it's not enough because of what life throws at us. And sometimes we know how to respond, but sometimes we react. And these emotions that we have kind of take over. And they charge these energetic particles that are inside, and it creates problems over time.
Yeah, thank you so much for explaining that, because it is a concept for anyone that's listening and going, spleen, what are we talking about here? It is a very challenging concept to explain. Traditional Chinese medicine is so rarely explored, and I love seeing more and more people take notice of it and adopt it into their way of being, because there's just so much ancient wisdom, but also so much study over so many, I'd say maybe hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Oh yeah. Thousands of years. Yeah.
Thousands.
That's what I appreciate too about the Chinese culture so much, is the energy work has been done throughout the world across all cultures pretty much. But the Chinese culture has done an outstanding job of experimentation and then documenting these experiments and then coming up with a systematic approach to define protocols to address certain conditions. It's amazing the amount of thought and energy discipline that's gone into it.
100%. And sometimes it doesn't all make sense. Like I still to this day, my girlfriends and I, when we go out for dinners or lunches and I order warm water, even in the it's a joke we have in our friendship circle because we all know each other so well. And it's something that if we understood why, I think less people would be having icy cold drinks. It all comes down to qi and energy, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's one of the worst things, ice cold drinks and ice cream.
Yeah, the things that we love and enjoy, especially.
I know, right? Yeah, life is funny like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my grandpa's a Chinese doctor, my late grandfather, but he loved his ice cream and he always believed in ballads. So
yeah.
I think life is too short for us to shove 100 pills down our throats and count calories and be too micro, I guess, managing of our well-being. Joy is a big part of it too.
Yes, 100%. Yes, that's what I was going to say, is that there needs to be joy in life also, and it could be something simple like a special treat. Like for me, my weakness is like croissants, like baked goods, all the nice baked goods. It's like, so once in a while, I'll treat myself and it's just brings joy, something simple like that.
Oh, I love a good croissant. Yeah, that's one of my treats as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Craig, it's been so fantastic chatting with you and hearing all of the different things that you've just shared. And I'm so excited to get my hands on this book and to share it with the listeners. I wanted to hear what do you see coming up in the horizon? And what's the next thing, or what are you working towards next with the time that you've got and all that amazing energy that you have, that desire to bring forward joy in your work, but also to share and share your knowledge?
Thank you for that. There's a lot of things that I've been working on, and I'm starting to really bring everything together. So I'm in service to others as a business mentor, providing advisory, consulting, and coaching services. So that's one aspect. I do the energy work with people. So that's like the doctor of Chinese energetic medicine, where I actually do one-on-one work, doing energy sessions with people. Of course, I have my book and being an author, speaker, doing some speaking stuff. And I'm starting to bring all this together. And I just launched a new website. I just announced it today, actually, craigcook.com. And that's with the E at the end of Cook. And this site, because I have two other websites, but this site is the first time where I'm bringing it all together so that people can see how I'm working and integrating it. Because that's what I really wanted to do, is to really help create things that inspire and empower others to help them reach what I call their divine potential. So through the website, you'll see that people can work with me in a business mentor standpoint, but they can also learn from me, actually, Qigong. I started teaching earlier this year online. I actually launched a self-directed course too. So if someone just want, I call it a taste of Qigong. So if they just want like an appetizer, they can sample that. And then if they, because you know, it's, people will gravitate to certain things, right? So if it resonates with them, then they can sign up for a live online program. I'm also starting to do workshops. I have a workshop coming up in Phoenix, Arizona in early November. So it'll be a full day workshop. So I'm bringing Qigong, going from where in the past it was one-to-one, now I'm going to one-to-many with that. So bringing that all together, and with the book, and just helping people in ways that I can just help them become the best version of themselves.
Wow, that's amazing. And for anyone that's listening that wants to be a part of that, make sure to check out craigcook.com with an E at the end of Cook, and have a look at the different classes. As Craig mentioned, A Taste of Qigong. He's got a workshop as well on the Tao of Qi, which more for those that are in person. Whereabouts is it?
That's it. You're going to be in the Phoenix area in Arizona.
Amazing. So for anyone that is in that area that wants to take themselves there, I would highly recommend it. I wish I could, but I'm all the way in Australia.
I know. Who knows? Maybe one day I'll make my way over there.
Oh, that would be amazing. We'd love to have you here in Australia.
Well, if enough listeners gain interest in, if there could be enough people, hey, I could be motivated to go.
Yeah, we definitely have to bring a community to get together. And there's a great community, a fantastic spiritual community, and people that are really quite open-minded to what we've talked about today, who I think would absolutely benefit and find it fantastic.
Oh, great. Well, that's great to hear over there too, because it's something I've noticed, especially in the past few years, much more people are becoming receptive and open-minded to this type of work and topic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And I think that having that as part of our daily lives is going to help us be able to do more, make more impact, and really feel fulfilled and thrive.
Yeah, and be a better leader, because if you are really in balance with yourself and you're having great interactions with others because you're so centered and balanced, and even though things are chaotic, you can be calm and balanced. Well, other people are going to look up to that. But if you're the opposite, getting all stressed out and losing control, that doesn't instill trust and confidence, and the other team members can get scared. You know, fear sets in. Oh my gosh, maybe things are bad here. Maybe I need to look for another job. The mind speculates. When the mind speculates, it always tends to go to the negative. So really having it together and leading by example, like we talked about earlier, and being in balance and centered, it just helps you become a great leader.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Thank you for sharing. And it's definitely a really important skill to have as well, to be like the duck where the legs underwater are moving really fast, but it's gliding. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to have to borrow that.
it just came into my mind. I'm sure it's been used so many times, but yeah, that immediately came to mind when you said that. And yeah, cool. Thank you for sharing. That's so thoughtful. Craig, it has been so good to have you on the show. I'd love to speak with you more and continue having these conversations, these really fruitful conversations. And I really encourage the listeners, if you found this insightful or you have gained value from this, share it with your friends and your family. You know, share this episode or this clip or this YouTube link with the people that matter in your life. And more importantly, leave us a review if you can. That's the only favor I will ask. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. And Craig, thank you so much once again for all the wisdom that you've shared today. It's been lovely having this chat. And yeah, I can't wait to talk to you again more. And we cannot wait to have you in Australia eventually as well.
Oh, thank you, Phoebe. Thank you for having me on today. And it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I would love to get over there at some point.
That would be the absolute cherry on top. We would more be so welcoming of that, and would be more than grateful to have you. Thanks, Craig. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.